Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Big Nasty. Yeah, Big Nasty Hall of Fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother. You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
Here is day four, the snap, the hold, the kick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast live on YouTube this Sunday afternoon for episode 186. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host, Philly Bucks fan himself, Mr. Evan Wanish. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. Yeah. We're back. We're back with kind of a... It hasn't been a month hiatus, and I see in the chat already we've got a few guys. We got James, aka Mr. Bucks Nation, in there. We got AM209. What's up, guys? It hasn't been a month, and we're not like back to a normal schedule, but like we're pretty much back to doing more frequent episodes. Because believe it or not, we got training camp coming up in like
6 days.
Yeah, like I was going to say, there's less than a week.
We are as close can get, and some more exciting news. Like you said, we haven't been gone for a month, so that's always a good thing, but we are back with more content. And believe it or not, we're going to be doing a show on Thursday as well. I think with training camp coming back around, as of today, we are 53 days away from the regular season. September 9th, the Bucks open things up against the Cowboys on primetime. That is just a little over 50 days away. So that means the Cannon Fire Podcast is officially unofficially back, right?
Back.
People should be hearing from us a little bit more this time of year.
Absolutely. Back in business.
Hell yeah. Pac-Man 504 says, what's up, Neil? What's going on, buddy? Like you said, Mr. Bucks Nation, our guy James Hill, Armor Man, and Mr. David hanging out with us here today. What is going on, guys? We have got so much to talk about. So this Thursday, as you know, the Buccaneers report back to One Buck Place. They're going to be going in for their physicals, anything and everything else that you really need to report to the facility for to kind of get back in action. Yeah. It's the first time that they'll be doing football activities at the facility for, 6 weeks? Another exciting thing about Thursday, though, is that they're not just going back to get dressed and sized for uniforms and all that other stuff. The Buccaneers will be getting their Super Bowl rings this Thursday, July 22nd. So when we do our live show on Thursday, we're going to be able to talk about that as well. But, I mean, basically, you know, the mood, as I've said before, things are just starting to pick back up. And I mean, dare I say it, football's back, buddy.
Yeah, you know it. The Bucs got a busy week ahead. They got the White House visit on Tuesday, and then they'll be able to visit the White House. And then it'll actually be the Bucs. I don't believe the Bucs were able to visit the White House last time they won the Super Bowl because of some things. I forget exactly what was going on with the world at that time. They weren't able to do it. So now they're going to be able to. So it'll be pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, first time ever the Bucs will be in Washington as Super Bowl champs. And as far as this trip goes, I think a lot of these guys look at it on their calendar. This is probably, you know, their last big public go around, not necessarily as Super Bowl champions, but, you know, kind of the promo tour, I guess, is what you could call it. Like,
well, to me, it is a Super Bowl champions, though, because you're celebrating a championship. So.
No, yeah, that's definitely fair. But I mean, who's to say they won't win the whole damn thing next year and still be Super Bowl champs? Right. I mean,
sure.
Maybe it's wishful thinking, but
if they're thinking that during the season, they're not going to be.
Yeah.
So,
like, but they have been.
You got to come in there. Bruce Arians already said it a few weeks ago. You know, that team won Super Bowl. This team hasn't done nothing.
This year's
I know
team.
You sent me a tweet that you thought was pretty funny. And they were like, yeah, they got to prove they can do it without Ryan Smith.
Yeah. This year's team hasn't done anything. You know, a lot of changes. They got to prove they can do it without Ryan Smith this year and Andrew Adams.
Yeah, big Anthony Auclair, you know, big losses. So, I mean, AM209 says, when's the season preview episode coming? Which, if you guys have been a fans of the show or have followed us for the past 2-3 years, you would know that our season prediction show is normally one of the – our season prediction show and our season review show is normally always some of the biggest shows, some of the longest shows that we do.
Definitely the longest,
It's coming. It's coming. And it takes a while because we go through every game. We go through all 17 games now, not 16, 17 games now. And we predict each one. And we don't just say, oh, this is a win. We talk about why it might be a win, why it might be a loss. We talk about that. So it's coming soon. We're not going to give you an exact date. But with the season coming up, it will be before the first preseason game. I'll tell you that right now. But it is coming soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to getting into that. And as far as, you know, the Buccaneers go and what's been going on with them, I kind of mentioned that promo tour that they've been on as Super Bowl champions. A couple of weeks ago, the ESPYs happened and the Buccaneers cleaned house. Tom Brady, quarterback in Tampa Bay, was voted best male athlete. And the Buccaneers, the 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl champions, in case you hadn't heard yet, they were voted the best team in sports. So, I mean, that's the be-all, end-all, ESPN. You know, they don't lie. Bucks are the best team in sports. I don't make the rules. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. You know, Tom Brady's the best male athlete on the face of the planet right now, and the Bucks are the best team on the face of the planet. I do not make the rules, and I did not vote in the ESPY, so take it up with the committee. But let's talk about the quarterback, because I think that's, you know, that might be why a lot of people have clicked on the stream or this video here today. Mm-hmm. He is the main talking point. Because the Bucs have had a busy few weeks, but Tom Brady has also had a pretty busy few weeks. He had the tournament a couple of weeks back against Aaron Rodgers. Right after the season ended, before the boat parade, or maybe right after the boat parade, right around the boat parade, because, you know, for the whole city of Tampa, that was kind of a slosh fest. Nobody remembers a whole lot. But he had that, that cleanup is what it was first described as, was a cleanup procedure on his knee. And everybody just kind of assumed it was like a knee scope, go in there, fix some cartilage, I don't know, do what you do on an athlete's knee, right? And then a couple of weeks later, it comes out that it was a little bit more than just your regular patch-up job. And all of a sudden, reports come out this week that Tom Brady played the entire 2020 season on a torn MCL. Now, there are two sides of the fence here. We're going to cover both of them. But the first side is... Firstly, you kind of have to be in a little bit of disbelief because, you know, the greatness that is Tom Brady is hard to be measured. But when you measure his list of accomplishments, let's look at the 2020 season from top to bottom. What we know is that he came to his first new franchise in 20 years, a new playbook, new head coach, new teammates, new system he was going to have to learn. You know, some year one struggles, if you will, I think is what we can call them. So he came into
during a pandemic, by the way,
and the pandemic, global pandemic. He didn't even know if a full season was going to happen once it starts. They play the entire 2020 season. The playoffs come around. Brady's been there, done that. But you've got a bunch of guys on this team who had never been in the playoffs. Three straight games on the road, the Buccaneers win. They're the first ever team to play in their home Super Bowl. They get it done. Buccaneers are 2020 world champions. Tom Brady gets his seventh ring. So obviously it's an amazing season in itself, but now that we know he did all of that on top of a torn MCL, is 2020 Brady's first year in Tampa, is that the greatest accomplishment of his career so far?
You know, I think it very well might be. When you think about this, just like you said, you know, he signs in Tampa. They had no OTA,
no preseason.
They had less than they did this offseason, and this offseason was restricted in some ways. You know, it's really incredible what he was able to do, and credit to him for getting the guys at Berkeley Prep and stuff like that, and like getting them ready. But I mean, you start your season on the road in New Orleans against the team that has won the division three or four straight years, and you're on the road. A team that just owned you and you lose. That's adversity right there. You know, that is complete adversity. And then you get another chance to beat them in your house on primetime and you get absolutely embarrassed. You know, that's not great. And like you said, with the playoffs, before the playoffs, they're 7-5. And there's a lot of questions. Like you said, there were some struggles, of course, yeah, you know,
a lot of pressure.
And trust me, guys, in this coming up season, there will be ups and downs because that's how a sports season goes. There's ups and downs in every single sports season, no matter how good the team is. So, you know, they're 7-5 and we're talking, are they going to make the playoffs? You know, because they're going to have to be at least 10-6, not or 11-5 to probably make the playoffs. And, you know, it turns out, yeah, if they were 9-7, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. So they had to really go on a run. They go on a run, win four straight. And then, like you said, play three straight games on the road, another one in New Orleans, which they had your number the entire time. Right? Bruce Arians, as Bucs head coach, has never beaten the Saints. You know, Tom Brady got owned by the Saints. The Bucs have literally been owned by the Saints. They go into the Saints' house and beat them. And I know Brady, it wasn't like he played some masterful game or something. A lot of it was the defense. Like, I get it. But, you know, at the same time, like, he contributed to that. Then they go, not only do they have to go to New Orleans, then they got to go to Green Bay, which is one of the toughest places to play.
It is the pinnacle of football in January. When you think playoff football, all roads go through Lambeau. And of course, with Green Bay being the number one seed headed into playoffs last year, all roads literally went through Lambeau.
And I mean, they had the MVP of the league in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And you're able to win. And I know Tom Brady threw three interceptions in that game. I get it. But he also played well. And he played well enough to win. So then you get to the Super Bowl. And yeah, it's a home Super Bowl. Guess what? That Super Bowl wasn't against some fluke team, you know. Like some people could say with the Lightning's victory, if you wanted to hate on the Lightning, oh, well, Montreal shouldn't have been there in the first place. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, like the Kansas City Chiefs were the defending champs, right? They were the defending champs with Patrick Mahomes, and everybody was picking them to win, and the Bucs went out and dominated. And yet again, it wasn't a game where Tom Brady just, you know, single-handedly, like, the Bucs lose without Tom Brady. But I don't know, like, you know, he played well. He played well in that game. It's not like he didn't throw five touchdowns, six touchdowns, and 400 yards because he didn't have to. And he did what he needed to do. And, yeah, in the circumstances with having no offseason, no preseason, not even knowing if it's going to be a season, a brand new team after 20 years in one place, brand new environment. I do think that this is Tom Brady's best accomplishment in his career. And that's a heck of a thing to say.
And he played the entire season with this big ass brace on his knee. Like it was visible that,
I didn't even mention that. I didn't even mention that. Yeah. He's literally playing with all this with an MCL, which honestly, before the season, we didn't even know. We heard about it sort of towards the end of the year, and then we heard about the cleanup, but we didn't know.
Nobody knew it was an MCL till this week.
No, and I mean, you can play. You can play on an MCL. I've experienced, not necessarily me personally, but with athletes that I support and MCLs, because that's what Joel Embiid had in the playoffs this year. He had not a torn MCL, but I think it was a strained MCL. And he was able to play, and he played. It affected him a little bit, but not too much. So you're able to play through it, but like it's not comfortable. And like you said, he's wearing that brace, and it like sometimes the brace looked thicker than normal. So maybe he had his bad days, maybe he had his good days. But towards the end, you would see he wouldn't practice one day out of the week or so. And yeah, it was a great job by Brady. I mean, I just think it's what can't this guy do, you know, at this point?
You know, the records definitely speak for themselves. Numbers don't lie, and here we are 7 Super Bowl rings later. It's hard to argue against this man, but here is the
What would be his other one? What would be his other accomplishment?
28-3
28-3 That's right.
Yeah, that's what comes to mind for me for sure, because that's the biggest uphill battle I think he's had in his career, and you know, he was able to handle it in 30 minutes. But here is the other side of the conversation that I wanted to talk about, because if you're not a Brady fan, if you're not a Tampa fan, if you hate red and pewter and you're tired of Tom Brady and the Buccaneers taking up the primetime spots on SportsCenter every single day, this is where things kind of turn into a slippery slope. You know, a lot of people think that the Bucs are eventually going to find themselves in hot water because, one, they never reported the injury. You know, typically, and with key players, it's safe to say Tom Brady is a key player. You should report that injury, even if they're okay enough to play on it. But like, where, you know, because I'm sure there's a gray area as well. When your quarterback is telling you that he can play, and he's going out there and he's practicing 4 times a week, and he looks in game shape, who are you to kind of step in between it and stop him, especially if it's Tom Brady? But like, what is the, you know, the gray area there? Like, do you think the Bucs are really going to be in any trouble, or is this just people whining about Tom Brady like they normally do?
It's Mike Florio hating Tom Brady for some reason.
Right.
That's what he does. That's, I would be pretty surprised if the Bucs got, any repercussion or anything from the league. You know, Cameron Brate, I think Pewter Report brought this up. Cameron Brate, a year or two ago, you know, he played like the last 7 or 8 weeks on like a, I think it was, it might've been like a hip or something. It was a real bad injury, but it was never reported. Yeah. You know, which is, and I, somebody brought this up, I forget who it was, but like the NFL eliminated the probable tag for like game days. So it's either, you know, out, doubtful, or questionable. So they eliminated the probable. You can't list somebody as probable anymore. Tom Brady would probably be listed as probable
every week.
Probably every week. Yeah, every week. I mean, maybe not in the beginning, because like, you know, as the season wears on, it definitely, like, I'm sure week one it was feeling a lot better than it was in week 16.
Oh yeah.
Right? So I mean, you know, it's stupid. It's something that Mike Florio is reaching for. I don't know what his problem is with Tom Brady, but I don't know. Normally, you know, them like national like guys and stuff, like a lot of like the football guys. Now, I'm not talking about the talking heads on SportsCenter or like Skip Bayless or anything like that, but like the national football guys like Mike Florio would really love Brady. Like, you know, like a Peter King, like Peter King likes Brady, Dan
right.
Patrick, those types of guys, they like Tom Brady. And for some reason, Florio just doesn't. So, I mean, we got in the chat here, Bucks UK's in the house. What's up, man?
Our hey buddy guys. Chase checking in.
Chase. And then James says, did Tom tell anybody that he tore his MCL? I mean, maybe. I don't know, but like,
as far as like trainers go,
I don't know if he exactly said he tore it. Maybe. Right. I mean, the trainer sort of probably had to know.
I'm sure over the course of the season, again, unless you're in the facility every single day, nobody's ever going to know the daily activities between trainers right. and athletes, especially with a season that's already over. But I'm sure that, you know, we can assume that the trainers knew that he had some issues with his knee. They knew they were going to be looking at it, knew there was some extra care, maybe some extra rehab every now and again. Like I said earlier, he's wearing a big old brace on the side of it. So clearly people knew there was something going on there. But, you know, telling them that he tore it in an official capacity, I don't know. We didn't find out it was torn until last week or the week before. And somebody else had said, reports are saying that it happened before he got to the Bucs, and that there are reports saying the Patriots did not know that it was torn.
Yes, that is true. It happened. The injury happened, but he was never a member of the Bucs. It was when he was with the Patriots, the injury happened. And he didn't want to get surgery on it, because an MCL, I spoke to somebody.
Well, if you get
MCL,
surgery, you're sidelined for quite a while.
Yeah, right? But also like you don't even need to get surgery on it. Like it's just something that you can normally get away with. You know, so I spoke to somebody who's a fan of the page and the show, and they sort of explained it to me. So they said they almost never operate on MCL tears. They said, yeah, it's usually physical therapy, bracing, and the rest takes care of MCL injuries. He said pretty sure Vita Vea had one a few years back. I read the next post about him re-injuring it in New England. If it persisted that long, then it would be surgical. Thankfully, it's a pretty easy surgery. You can throw a couple stitches in the ligament with a knee scope and go home. So yeah. It's a major thing, but it's also not something that right now it's probably not something that's really bothering him.
Especially now that he's post-op and all that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he'll be. I mean, he got the surgery in March, so yeah. he'll be ready to go for week one. There will be some limitations, I'm sure, in training camp, but he'll participate in training camp. We'll definitely be seeing Tom Brady. I don't think any limitations this season. So, and yeah. Honestly, like he moved around a good bit. You remember the Antonio Brown touchdown week 17? He's yeah. rolling out,
scrambling.
He did it a lot, and it looked like you would never know. So it's incredible. That's
the thing is that we had kind of assumed that, you know, week one, he's going to be rolling out there 100%. Well, now that we're looking at the grand scheme of things, we know for sure that this week one, he's going to be much closer to 100% than he was last year. And yeah, going back yeah,
which
to
obviously, but last year we didn't know he was injured at all.
So. Exactly. So all things are good for Tom Brady. As far as consequences go, I would be surprised if, the Bucs face any consequences. Somebody had mentioned in the chat as well. So if this happened in New England, does that mean the Pats could get some consequences? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL is going to be chasing.
Nobody is going to be getting any consequences, I don't think. Yeah. Now, one thing I will say. In Tom Brady's free agency, this had to be known by some people. Like people have had to known this. Did that scare some teams away from potentially pursuing Tom Brady?
How much he disclosed, he lets them know that on a surface level, hey, my knee isn't, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And maybe they're thinking, oh, a 43-year-old guy who's not the fastest in the world anyway. We know he's not using his legs much, so he's not going to get hit a lot. But, do you really want to take that risk? Maybe that was something that teams considered. Who knows? I don't know if it was disclosed. I have not heard that. I'm just speculating that maybe that was the reason that some teams bowed out. Maybe that was the reason the Titans stuck with Ryan Tannehill. Or the 49ers stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe, who knows? Just saying that, looking back on it, maybe that was something that was actually a concern.
Yeah. So we'll dive deeper into this as far as training camp goes on our Thursday show this week, but I want to talk about the preseason a little bit and maybe tempering expectations for some of the guys that are going to be on the bubble in training camp, what their capacity is going to look like in preseason, and even the starters, because we know the starters are going to get some action in preseason, but just how much is it going to be? Because that's always a gamble. There are certain guys that are first string that are going to get more reps than others, right? Maybe a certain receiver gets more reps than this tight end or vice versa. I don't know. But let's talk about what's going to be happening. So for the first time in 2 years, the Buccaneers will be playing a preseason. It'll be 3 games, right?
Yes.
What are your expectations for the starters in the preseason? I guess we'll start with Brady because we were just talking about him, but Brady might take 5 snaps total over the 3 games in the preseason if he takes any, right?
Yeah, if I had to guess, I think the Bucs would maybe want to throw him out there one of the games.
Just for one full series?
I mean you wouldn't take him out mid series if you start on the 25 and you're driving, you're not gonna take him out. So just to maybe get his feet wet. If I had to guess, so they play Tennessee, they play Cincinnati, then Tennessee, then Houston. If I had to guess, I would say he probably doesn't play at all in the Tennessee game, the Cincinnati game. He plays in the Tennessee game for a series maybe, and then he doesn't play at all in Houston. But I do think you will see the starters per se. Like, I think you'll see them play their normal probably 2 games. Then that last preseason game, even though it's one less, I think you're just going to see backups.
Side note, question for you. I know you're a big uniform guy, so obviously this is a very pressing issue. Normally during the preseason, at least in 2018 and 2019, the Buccaneers like to experiment with their looks. And the preseason was the...
I think I know where you're going with this.
The preseason was the only time that we would see Tampa Bay, at least in the 2014 uniforms and onward. Preseason was the only time we would see a red jersey with white pants. Do you think the Buccaneers make me happy and pull out a kit with a red jersey and white pants so I can see Tom Brady in that classic look.
I hope.
I hope they do too, man. I hope they experiment.
And I hope Brady plays in that game. Because I don't want to see him just like, because if he's not playing at all, he won't even be dressed in it. So like,
right,
I need him to be playing in it, you know. But like, oh man, yeah, I just want to see
what it looks like on the field. And if it's gonna look good.
You already know what it looks like.
I do. But the thing about it is that people don't really like that one because for some reason I had always heard a lot of comparisons to that and like one of the Atlanta uniforms.
Atlanta doesn't even have white.
When you wear a red jersey and a white uniform, apparently you look too generic. And that's like the generic Bucks look, apparently. But I really like it. I think it's something that they don't pull out that often.
Exactly.
And I'd be excited to see it. What do you guys think in the live chat, by the way? If you have any questions at all about anything we're talking about from the preseason, the training camp, to Tom Brady, to what color uniforms they're going to be wearing in the preseason, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. I knew exactly where you were going with that. Yeah. I'd also maybe, you know, what, like pewter jersey, white pants? Maybe just to see what it looks like, you know?
Sure.
See what it looks like. Yeah, I mean, who cares, right? But I remember, the one I distinctly remember, it was in Cincinnati.
It was Vernon
Hargraves got the interception on the first drive, and that they wore them jerseys, and man, did they look good.
The
jersey with the white pants. Yeah, they look good. Yeah. James is cracking Kyle Trask jokes. Throw 7 touchdowns in the preseason. Wow.
In one game, by the way.
No, not yet. We'll see. We will see. I think the preseason this year will be a lot of excitement for people because one, it's football, like you're always excited, but also like it's a new quarterback, right? It's the quarterback that you draft in the second round. It's the local college kid, you know. I think that'll get some eyeballs, and he's definitely gonna play. Like they're gonna throw him out there. Like it'd be irresponsible not to get him that experience.
I don't think he will, but I would like to see Trask be the. I want him to be like the guy. I want him to be the most used quarterback in the preseason for sure.
Yeah, I know what Blaine Gabbert is. I know what Ryan Griffin is. Mm-hmm. So if Tom Brady's not playing, I want Trask in there. That's what I would want.
I'm pretty sure the staff feels the same way, I think.
So, we'll have to wait and see. There's four games. In the past, there's four games. Normally, it would be 2 home games, 2 away games.
Yeah.
This year, it's 2 games in Tampa and then 1 game that's in Houston. So they get 2 home games. So you get 2 chances to have red jerseys and white pants in front of the home crowd. You better not blow it. So Letus Productions. Oh, Letus. Yo, I got to tell you right now, man, I'm a big fan of your work. I watch a lot of your highlight videos, and you're awesome at what you do.
Oh, hell yeah, I love your stuff.
Glad to have you in the chat here. That's another thing. I think a lot of people are excited to see Jalen Darden in the preseason. I mean, that's a guy that could be electric, and you heard a lot about him and Kyle Trask sort of building that rapport. Dude, if they hook up on like a 50-yard touchdown, people are going to go nuts.
Hey, well, another thing about Darden, too. I mean, let's just talk about it. The last time we talked about Jalen Darden, we had mentioned Jadon Mickens and, you know, the possibility of those guys taking snaps from each other. Well, here we are. Jadon Mickens, it looks like he's going to be facing charges for some of the stuff he got into. So basically, long story short, it definitely opens a door for Jalen Darden to make a little bit more of a name for himself a little bit quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that pretty much spells the end for Jadon Mickens. I like Mickens. I know James is going to hate me for this, but I hate James. So, I hope he's still watching. I hope he didn't leave. It was already going to be an uphill battle for Mickens to make the team.
Right. Tough spot to be in.
Yeah, but now with this, I mean, we knew it was pretty much coming, I think, when it happened. But, yeah, it sucks. Ben Leeper, I think, is really, really, you know, sort of relaying what I've been saying. This is the most hype I've been for preseason since 2015. Want to see as much Trask, Vaughn, and Darden as possible. Well, we're treating Keyshawn Vaughn like he's a rookie now, I guess, but okay.
I mean, he might as well be after being knocked down a few pegs in OTAs. Let's talk about the running back room. James had brought it up in the chat. I think we had it on our prep sheets to talk about, but
we did.
If we're talking about position
battles, I think James hacked into my phone and saw what we had in the chat.
That's probably he took the team viewer backdoor, Willie.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the running back snaps in the preseason. My hope is that Keyshawn Vaughn can kind of be the guy at running back throughout the preseason. I think we're going to need to see the most from him if he has a shot of role on this team.
You will see some Gio Bernard too, because I think they want to get him sort of used to acclimated and stuff. Yeah, so.
I think you'll see Gio Bernard.
He'll be probably first string, I think, because I don't know how much you'll actually see Jones or Fournette. So if they don't want to play Jones or Fournette, I think it would be Bernard.
That's the thing. I want to think that you'll see Gio Bernard on like passing downs when Brady's on the field. And if not that drive, then the drive immediately after, because that's when you want to get your guys acclimated to running that offense. But as far as the snaps go at running back, Evan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that I think Gio Bernard is going to be like their primary third down guy, unless he just somehow forgets how to catch, which would be a totally Bucks thing. Like that would
Right. We get like, three running backs who just can't catch.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, so they basically have four because Keyshawn Vaughn can't catch either. But,
so how do you want Keyshawn Vaughn to do? Do you want him to be the guy in the preseason?
I don't want him to be on the team.
You don't want you just want him out of here. You want him on the same bus as Jadon Mickens on his way out.
I never said about that about Jadon Mickens. So I've never seen people just go crazy over this guy that showed nothing in college and showed nothing in the NFL, and just I don't get it. Well, what are people seeing that I'm not? Like, is it because you didn't see him enough? I think there's a reason you didn't see him a lot.
I will always circle
back.
He comes into
the Chicago game, fumbles that game away. It's just, whatever.
I am not going to die on this hill because it's not worth it, especially at the running back position. But whenever we bring this up, I'm always going to circle back around to this argument. It's the sample size. If we saw a little bit more out of Keyshawn Vaughn, if he did not have a touchdown against the Chargers, nobody would want him on the team. But the fact that, you know, we have seen a little bit of productivity in this offense, granted that he is, you know, the third string running back, but four string behind LeSean McCoy, who had 10 total carries in Tampa.
And he showed more than Keyshawn Vaughn. You know, but now he's still fourth string because Gio Bernard's passed him. So, like, you know,
Ben Leeper says he showed nothing, ? He was a very efficient runner when he was given the opportunity after a COVID offseason. And this circles back to my argument when he was given the opportunity. How many opportunities was he really given in 2020? He's a rookie. He was a four-string rookie.
Who's also a third-round pick.
Yeah, hindsight's always 2020, and it's going to suck losing a third-round pick to a guy that really didn't do much but hurt you in the 2020 season. But I still think his sample size needs to be bigger before I can ship him off and say he shouldn't be on the team.
And look, a lot of this at this point is almost a bit by me. It's not, I'm not out to get Keyshawn Vaughn. I call it like I see it. Okay. It's just, I don't, when they made the pick, I didn't think he was that good. When you know, I really, the guy, if they were going to pick a running back there, I wanted to be Zach Moss from Buffalo. He went to Buffalo, but
I remember one of the seasons we did the show. We did a season prediction show. Bucks went 5-11 that year. And I'm pretty sure you picked them to go like 6-10 or 7-9. And you said it then, and you'll say it to this day. You call it like you see it, but you're also the type of guy where you will believe it when you see it.
Yeah.
Not like Patrick Mahomes, who said it backwards. You are correct.
I don't understand that.
Everybody was like, oh, he said it backwards on purpose to, you know, to try and make an extra meaning out of it. And I'm like, no, I think he just wasn't expecting to have to, you know, answer a question with a camera in his face, and he said it wrong.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll
see it when I believe it. Okay.
he's got to believe in it before he sees it, you know.
Yeah, Evan will come around to Keyshawn Vaughn. It's okay. People said the same thing about Ronald Jones. That ended up all right. Ronald Jones was a second-round pick who actually showed stuff in college. And Ronald Jones even got less opportunity than Keyshawn Vaughn did.
Did he?
Season.
Did
yeah,
he? Got, he? Did he?
Yes. Yes.
Did he really?
Yeah,
did he really?
He did. Yeah, he did.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if I'm going to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, he did.
Because I remember we complained about Ronald Jones not getting enough action. But there was also a period of time where we talked about Ronald Jones being in the running back rotation. What time in 2020 did we ever talk about Keyshawn Vaughn effectively getting carries in that backfield rotation?
We didn't. But, I mean, Ronald Jones showed me stuff in college. I liked him coming out.
He did. There were much higher expectations for Rojo out of college. I'll give you that for sure.
Just because the dude is in a Bucs uniform, everybody thinks like I'm like, you know, an evil guy and just, you know, hates everything except
you are. You are.
Yeah, I mean,
you're an evil person.
I am. But like, I mean, I guess they're right. But like pre-draft, I didn't really like Keyshawn Vaughn. Like, you know, and now I get to make a bit out of it, and now I get people talking. Look at the chat. Now this, it's all planned. Okay, James is over here spouting about some other crap. I don't know. It's. I wish him the best. I do. I don't see it. And if you're trying to win a championship again, like the Bucs are, how many snaps is Keyshawn Vaughn going to get this year? And so are we going to be doing this again next year where we say before the training camp, oh, can't wait to see Keyshawn Vaughn, man. Oh, man, wait to see Keyshawn Vaughn.
If we're talking about Keyshawn Vaughn being on the bubble next year, then I'm going to go ahead and go with, you know, he probably crapped the bed and didn't show us enough. But this year has to be the year for him. I will say that. When you are a championship team and your window is small for the Bucks, you know, their window was small enough. They already won one ring. They're going out to do it again. You don't have a lot of patience to wait around for this guy, especially after burning a third round pick. So If we're talking about this a year from now in the same exact context that we are now, then maybe we can say it's a wasted third round pick, but I need to see what happens this year. And yeah, here
James,
we go.
James,
all right.
James,
wow.
Yeah, I'm right.
Wow. By one snap, you're right. By one touch of the football.
Is this carries or is this like pure?
This is touches. I'm assuming carries and catches.
Okay, because I know Ronald Jones, he had a touchdown against the Browns. I think that was his first touchdown. And Keyshawn Vaughn's first touchdown was against the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. It was a little passing touchdown.
Yeah,
receiving.
Ronald Jones was a rushing touchdown. Keyshawn Vaughn's but I think that was Jones's only touchdown of that year too.
All right.
So I think they both had the same amount of touchdowns.
If we are talking about draft picks, let's cover some more draft picks and expectations for this preseason. I think Mr. David had brought it up on the live chat. I wanted to talk about it. First round pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2021, number 32. Well, number 9, but pick number 32, Joe Tryon, outside linebacker. What are the expectations for Joe Tryon? We know he kind of got a late start with OTAs. He was dealing with a little bit of an injury, so he wasn't ready to go out of the gate. Training camp, he should be good to go, and we already know that it's going to be kind of hard finding reps between Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul because those guys are alpha males, but he's going to find a way to do it. He's going to get his reps in. What kind of expectations do you have for him in the preseason? And not only that, but the regular season, because like we've said plenty of times, finding a spot as an edge rusher on this team is a lot easier said than done.
It is, but at the same time, is it? Because they've needed that third edge rusher. How long have we been saying that? Right?
Right.
Like that's been a need.
You wanted that depth in 2019.
Yeah. Talk about Clay Matthews in the Bucs. I was all on it. You know, I've been wanting that third guy for a while. And if you want me honest, I didn't think, you know, I was like, man, I don't know if they're going to win a championship because Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett are going to be burnt out. And, you know, luckily they were able to. Like, it was awesome.
And we even knew that, you know, JPP not only being burnt out, but dealing with that knee injury that he had all year.
Yeah, I mean, every Buck was dealing with a knee injury, I guess. So that's the deal.
Everybody got knee scopes for winning the Super Bowl.
Every a free scope. Yeah, that's what you got. But I mean, I think Tryon fits in like a glove in that third edge rusher spot, sort of. And here's the thing: I think the Bucks might run a lot on passing downs, and I think you're going to see this almost maybe as one of their primary looks on passing downs, having Shaq Barrett rush. You know, stand up and rush, have Joe Tryon stand up and rush, kick JPP inside, have Vita Vea there and a combination of Ndamukong Suh or Will Golston. Yeah. I think that's the formation you're going to see a lot. And we'll see how it goes. I think he fits in very well as far as preseason. I think you're going to see him a lot. I think it was Jason Pierre-Paul. He was a guy that already took off. You know, he had his vet day every week in practice. So I'm not sure how much you're going to see him in the preseason. I think you might see more Shaq Barrett than Jason Pierre-Paul. But I think you're going to see a lot of Joe Tryon. I think he's going to be playing, first quarter, second quarter of these games. I think you're going to see him in a lot of series. Hopefully he shows you something. I mean, the traits are all there, but he hasn't played football in over a year. Mm-hmm. Because he sat out. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what kind of shape he shows up to training camp in. I'm excited for him. I like the player. I know he's pumped to get to work. And as far as the season goes, I think what a third edge rusher should be, man. Just be solid. You don't have to – he doesn't have to tear the world on fire, right? He doesn't. Just do your – fill your role. Yeah. You are drafted to fill a role, fill that role. Gio Bernard was signed to fill a role, fill that role.
Yeah. And you had brought up, how Tryon can be used or how his presence can affect how other guys are used in this front seven. We know that after 2020, Todd Bowles is not scared to just show some weird ass looks to the offense as far as his front seven goes. We saw Ndamukong Suh get a running start into the A-gap last year, like just from a standing linebacker position. I remember watching it, and I was like, all right, here we go. You know what I mean? So they are definitely not afraid to mix up personnel back there. But it's exciting that if Tryon does work out, it's just another door that's open for everybody else to get in there and mix things up for opposing offenses. So definitely a great thing to have, and a lot of eyes going to be on him this preseason.
James is just mad that Jadon Mickens is going to get
killed. Oh, we're still talking about Keyshawn Vaughn and Ronald Jones here in the chat.
So he says Vaughn was 17th in the nation. He puts nation in capitals in rushing in 2018.
In the nation!
That's what I was thinking, too. And 50th in 2019. Ronald Jones was 52nd in 2016 and 8th in 2017. They're very comparable. They're not, because Ronald Jones was top 10 and Ronald Jones was a second round pick.
So, I will die on this hill, Evan. He says,
was Keyshawn Vaughn getting like traits to traits comparisons to Jamal Charles and Chris Johnson coming out of college? I don't think so. Stop. Just stop. Okay?
What college running back nowadays is not getting comparisons to, just all time greats coming out of college?
I know.
Yeah. Ben Leeper also says,
every draft pick ever made is just, he's
apparently awesome. Every running back this year was Walter Payton, Barry Sanders put together into one. Ben Leeper in the chat says, if you watch the current series on the Buccaneers YouTube channel, they actually show the moment where JPP tweaks his knee in a practice rep. It's interesting because we all thought it was just a general listing due to the knee surgery he had, not an extra tweak to the knee. If you have not been watching In the Current, by the way, you need to do so. If you're a Bucs fan, I mean, Hard Knocks is one thing, but the production value on In the Current, I know that everybody gives the Bucs social team their props, but they seriously don't deserve it enough. Like, it is a great series so far, and if you want to go back and relive the 2020 season, it's a hell of a way to do it.
I mean, it's basically, like the Bucs only version of Hard Knocks.
Right, in-house media team puts it together, yeah, it's like, all shot.
Like, like all or nothing. And obviously HBO and Amazon and stuff, like, yeah, it's going to be like a better product or whatever. But if you're looking for something that takes you in depth, and it's not going to give you the exclusive, like the behind the scenes, like interviews and all that stuff that the Hard Knocks does, but that's Hard Knocks thing. Hard Knocks is, an hour of six episodes in the preseason. This goes through the whole season. This goes through every game. It's incredible. It really is. I haven't watched the latest episode yet.
Oh, it's good, man.
But I'll find time. It's long, isn't it? Like 50 minutes.
It's like
or so?
45 or 50 minutes. That's the thing about these two, is that
they're all at least like a half hour.
Yeah, it's like a legitimate series. I think Wednesday like they show. Do a live YouTube premiere, and they do a watch party for them. But the last episode that was released covered the playoff run. So now the next one is just going to cover the Super Bowl, and I'm sure everything that'll
probably be
after
that'll probably be like an hour, probably.
Yeah, like a season finale type deal. Yeah. But there is no better time to get into the series. Get caught up.
If you want to relive the Bucs Super Bowl run, the two things I would suggest is A, buying the DVD and watching it, because I watched it. It's good. But then if you want a more in-depth, maybe behind the scenes with some more interviews and stuff, go on YouTube and watch it for free. In The Current. And I mean, I've loved In The Current. Like, it's,
they've done it for a couple of years.
Ever since whoever came up with that is a genius.
Yeah.
And it's an absolute genius. And one thing that I will say, we're starting a new thing here that's going to be coming up in the season. It's like, I'm going to do like a take bag type deal. It'll be the last 5-10 minutes of a show. And I'll do, Rhett will toss it over to me for like a take bag thing. And I'll just give like random Bucks takes at like what I'm thinking, or sometimes I'll be out there. It's just random things that like I think about, or my thoughts on things.
You have anything in mind today, or are we going to debut it on a,
I have one thing. So this is the debut.
Here we go.
Of the take back. So
I'll have to come up with like your own segment music and
or something,
a name
like that
for it. If you're in the chat, let us know a good name for the segment.
Yeah. So, you know how, like, I wonder when America's Game is coming out for the Bucks. And,
the Super Bowl special.
And, normally they have, like, a narrator that's, like, close to the area or something. I saw somebody predict that, like, John Cena, because he lives in Tampa and stuff, like, he would narrate it maybe. It wasn't a rumor or anything, but, like, you could have, like, it would be a pretty good
Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Like, a pretty good narration type deal.
Dave Bautista.
So yeah, just let's just name all wrestlers.
They all live in Tampa.
I know. So I'm wondering when that's coming out, because I enjoy it, and I enjoy watching the Bucks 2000. I enjoy watching the DVD, but I also enjoy watching America's Game, because they get into some things that the DVD honestly doesn't. The DVD covers every single game, so it can't go into detail about some games. And I feel like America's Game really gets into the sort of the details of some specific games. I remember in the 2002 one, they really talk about, Philly and what
how much that meant.
And I mean, Warren Sapp was saying how he was getting back on the bus after they lost to Philly in the regular season, and how John Gruden was saying, I got him and stuff like that. I got him. And, and they also, they talked about Tony Dungy, and they talked about some things there, which the DVD really didn't. So I think America's Game is going to cover some things that, they really didn't. So if you had to guess, normally there's 4 or 5 guests, and this will be the end of the take bag. I only got one, I promise. Normally there'll be 3, 4, or 5 maybe, but right now I only got one. I approve that UFC fight.
That's UFC 270, Mr. Bucks Nation versus the Philly Bucks fan.
Let's sign papers.
One night only.
That's right. So who do you think, let's say there's 5 that you know how they interview people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there's 5. What are the 5? My guess would be Bruce Arians. The 5 people that like they interview throughout the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, probably just because he just came back out of retirement. They'll talk to him about that and stuff. Devin White. So what's that? That's 4. And either a guy like Shaq Barrett, or I think like a Mike Evans or Chris Godwin.
Okay.
That's who I think it's
okay. I got a pretty similar list. In order of appearance, Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, number 2, Jason Light, number 3,
ooh,
Mike Evans, number 4, and the number 5, kind of got me on this one. I think Gronk could be a good option, but honestly, you want to mix it up a little bit and get a good reaction. Antonio Brown. I'd like to hear from him. Either Antonio Brown or probably, one of the defensive guys, because I didn't mention any defense.
I think there's going to be a defensive guy.
Yeah, there's got to be. Especially with that defense. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's one of Lavonte David or Devin White's going to be on there. One of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking like Vita Vea, but like Vea missed most of the season. I think you could almost cheat. You could almost give 6 because you could say you have Brown, but you have him come in like halfway through the show.
Right. Yeah.
He was halfway through the season.
He's the guy who's interviewed the least or has the least clips on there. He's, you know, yeah, the bonus feature or something.
Yeah. So like that's what I think you can make. You can maybe cheat like that kind of. But yeah, that'd be cool. Just something I was thinking about.
Oh, yeah, man.
When is, hey, NFL Network, when are we getting America's Game, the story of the 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers? When are we getting that?
That's all we need. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the first ever edition of, Evan's take bag. Evan's grab bag.
For now.
Evan's money bag.
Boom.
So let's talk a little bit more. I think, honestly, we've kind of covered the wagon of everything we wanted to come in here and talk about.
And we will be back, like you said earlier, we will be back on Thursday. So even short of a break, we'll be back with a special guest. We're not going to say the special guest.
Oh, we're not?
But we not right now, we are not.
Okay, not right now.
Right now. Well, let's keep them guessing a little bit.
Okay.
It is a guest that has never been on this show before. It is not a reoccurring guest. It is not James, I can assure you that. even though James, thanks, buddy. Because James did help a little bit, but it's a guy that we've wanted to get on the show for a while, hasn't been on the show, and we're going to talk about it.
He finally texted us back.
And if I believe we've mentioned this on the show before, I believe we've joked around with that. So if you're a longtime CFP listener and have a good memory, you might already know who we're talking about.
Yeah, he finally texted us back.
So, it'll be exciting. We're excited to have this person on and give you a little hint. I can argue with him about where he's from and what type of hockey team he likes. So
there you go. But alongside the hockey argument and everything else, we'll be talking about, of course, the Super Bowl rings as they come out that day. We'll do a little bit more of an in-depth training camp preview.
God.
We'll talk about some position battles and stuff like that.
We got a timeout. Ben Leifer, read the Jaden Mickens live from a prison cell.
That's just wrong, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he finally texted us back. We were his Mickens one phone finally call. That's what's gonna happen on Thursday. Jadon Mickens, we were the one phone call. Some way, somehow, he got the hotline number, and we're going to have him on the show on Thursday. That's terrible, man.
Oh, my God. Everybody's on the phone for like an hour. Everybody's in the back yelling at him. The guard. Oh, my God. All right. I think that's a good point to stop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think.
So like we had said earlier, make sure you guys stay tuned for this Thursday's show. We're going to be live right here on our YouTube channel talking about training camp, Super Bowl rings, and much, much more with a very special guest. Excited to get that one underway. If you're looking for more, series to watch aside from In the Current, we do have a fun series going on here on the channel. Myself and Mr. Bucks Nation, a.k.a. James Hill, who is hanging out in the chat, we have a little show called Buried Bucks Treasure, and what it is, every single Friday, we go to a different part of Tampa Bay, and we are looking for vintage Buccaneers culture, antiques, oddities, anything that is red and pewter or, you know, orange, yellow, and white that we can find around Tampa Bay, you're going to see it on that show. We're searching high and low for some of the coolest stuff that you will ever find here in Tampa Bay, and it is all Bucks related. Having a really good time with that series, so make sure you guys go check that out. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show and, of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram at Bucs_wave. You're doing your Madden simulation, by the way.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bucs_daily. God, it's been forever.
Well, that was crazy. Wow.
It's been a minute since
Long time listeners of the show, if you guys know that, you'll know the confusion that Rhett was under.
Yeah,
so
people, I'm sure people.
Was not always Bucs_daily, but yes, I am doing the Madden.
I was laughing at my mistake.
Okay. Well, I do that all the time. I laugh at your mistakes. I don't laugh at mine because I make so few. The Madden sim is going well.
Bucs are undefeated, right?
Bucs are undefeated for now.
Gio Bernard's like your leading rusher on the team.
I know. It's Leonard Fournette gets like no carries. Because literally, I'm sitting there, I sim it, and I watch it. Like, I sit there and just watch it.
Even in the sim, I think Gio Bernard's running back one for some reason.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Ronald Jones gets some, but yeah, Leonard Fournette gets like no carries. But they were undefeated. I don't know, are they? Because I haven't posted the results yet of the Patriots game. So are they undefeated?
Well, I watched the game live, so I don't know.
Well, then you know. But you know, if you didn't watch the game live, you know, are they undefeated? Who knows? But yeah, I'll be posting the results there soon. For that game, the Bucs are currently 3-0 in the sim. It's all updated rosters, completely updated. With, like you said, Joe Tryon, Jalen Darden's like not really in the game, but Gio Bernard is a big impact player for him right now. And yeah, it's been exciting. And I did it last year, and it was pretty close to accurate on the Bucs record. I think it predicted like 12-4, and the Bucs went 11-5. So I would pay close attention to what this Madden sim has in store. So Cartier, I believe I'm saying that right. Walker, I'm the only Bucs fan in, is that Connecticut?
Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're the only, but hey, thanks a lot for tuning in. You're the only Bucs fan from Connecticut here.
Thanks for holding it down and watching the podcast, bud. We truly do appreciate you guys. Last but not least, folks, make sure you follow myself on social media. My username is right below me, but in case you can't read it, it is Redicus, Rhettakus. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. If you follow me, I will follow you back. With that said, folks, we also have a really, really exciting announcement that maybe we'll announce on Thursday's show. But basically, all I'm trying to say is that make sure you're here for Thursday's show. It's going to be a big show. It's basically, you know, we're really getting back into the swing of things, and we are very, very excited to be talking Buccaneers football with you guys once again. So thank you to every single person who is hanging out in the live stream. Carter Walker, Mr. David Vortex, Mr. Bucs Nation, Ben Leeper, AM209, Letus Productions, and anybody else that I may have missed. We truly appreciate your support. If you guys have not subscribed to the channel already, make sure you do so. We got plenty of great Buccaneers content between now and the start of the season. Well, that's just about going to do it for this episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. I am your host, as always, Rhett Matthew, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We will talk to you guys on Thursday, live, right here on this YouTube channel. Until then, as always, thanks for checking out the Cannon Fire Podcast. Go Bucs!
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.